Larry Miller is with me. Larry and I last had a conversation on the radio 10 years ago. I remember the conversation. You know, most guests who I have on this show, if it was a month or two ago, I vaguely remember what we talked about. But Larry Miller has always been one of my favorite comedians and has done terrific work in the movies. He and I specifically remember the conversation we had 10 years ago. First, let me get the full introduction in here. He's got a new book of essays that's out now called Spoiled Rotten America, Outrages of Everyday Life. Larry, it's been a decade, but welcome back to the show.
Paul, hello. You know, I got to be honest, by the way. I mean, I'm here to talk about the book and sell it, but everything you just said made my mouth. What do you got? A guy in a bar wants to talk about baseball and the series, and I'm thinking, that's what I want to do. You know, I mean, sure, I want to sell books. That's all dandy. But if we can do that quickly, I want to say, oh, boy, hey, this one's in a saloon. This guy came back 2 free games, and it was cold, but it was fantastic. And then, oh, there's a controversy. This is what I want to hear.
Well, you know what? After we're finished talking here, you click on KMOX.com from your lovely Beverly Hills mansion or wherever you're sitting this afternoon.
You know what's funny? Wait, this couple of the servants just came in. Hold on. excuse me, I specifically said on the table, didn't I? I'm so sorry. You know how it is.
No, actually, well, have one of the servants click on KMOX.com, and then you can listen.
Well, maybe you're right. You know what's funny, by the way? I'm at work now. I was just writing something again, and I'm so new to all this. There's a website, for instance, for the book, and the astonishing thing about that is that considering I started writing this thing with a quill and wound up with a website.
Yeah.
There's not anyone in America who can say they've made a bigger journey in technology than in 2 years. And by the way, let me just say, the website is called LarryMillerHumor.com, and believe me, I appreciate the chance. This is so weird now. That's so funny. The other phone is ringing. You see, in my life, I can't speak for you.
Yeah.
But every single aspect of technology throws me a little.
Mm-hmm.
So that as I can't believe I'm talking to you in St. Louis now.
Mm-hmm.
I have the computer on. I'm writing something on it. The guy I'm selling it to is in Washington, and he was just dialing on the other phone or
mm-hmm.
calling. It's ringing. This is why I just want to be in a bar watching baseball. I can't take it.
Well, I remember the last time we talked, you talked about what an absolute technological Luddite you are, and now you not only have a website, you're blogging. Oh, my God, Larry.
You know what? Next, I should actually have my own space station. I think that's how far I've come.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's the exact point, though. I think, look, I love that there's technology in the world. And this is exactly when we should live. If any of us ever said, you know how sometimes people say, well, I'd like to be back in the Old West, or, well, I should be in the days of knights or in the medieval days. But, you know, believe me, as soon as you went back there in the middle of August and they said, well, there's no air conditioning, you'd say, can I go back?
Yeah. You know, I was on vacation in England this year, and we went out to the English countryside, and we actually had lunch in a pub that has been in that one place in the Cotswolds area of England since 1361. And I banged my head every time I went in and out of a room, and I thought to myself, you know what? I like the 21st century buildings a lot better.
That's exactly it, though. You want to say, see, I like hearing from you
yeah.
that the place is still there.
Yeah.
But then if I want to go somewhere for a drink, I don't want to have to say, hey, what's that smell? Well, it's mold from the 9th century.
Really?
Gee, they're fantastic. So it can actually grab me? Yes, watch out.
Yeah. And then my other thought was, how'd you like to be the owner of that pub the day it goes out of business? It's been here for 650 years, and you couldn't keep it going another week?
Yeah, you're the one. You idiot. No, I just figured a buffet would go well, and then wait, you moron, how did you ruin that?
Just get a big bucket of mead, and you're all set. Anyway, let me tell my audience what it was we were talking about a decade ago, and there's no reason for you to remember this. It's just one of those things that sticks in the back of my little brain.
Before you do, by the way,
yes?
Was that when I was at the comedy club in the train station? Was that where the club was? Oh, the hotel was in the train station?
It wasn't here in St. Louis. I was working in Washington, D.C. at the time.
Oh.
And I think you were playing at the comedy club over the strip joint.
That, by the way, speaking of remembering things, it can't come as a giant shock to people that when you work at a comedy club right over a strip bar, you will remember that. It's not something, you know, if they reconstituted the KGB just to give me one of those old Ipcress file interrogations, the kind where they drain every single thing out of your head, even your name.
Yep.
The last thing to go before I remember nothing else in my life will be the comedy club over the strip. Anyway, I'm sorry, you were saying.
That's all right. Here's what the conversation was. You and your wife had just done something in your bathroom, and we talked about faucet handles, about dainty little faucet handles that your wife wanted, while you wanted manly faucet handles in there.
You know what? And that is in the very first chapter of the book, because that's the one where I talk about it's called, in fact, Royal Flush. That is the chapter. And by the way, forgive me, let me just mention it again. The book is called Spoiled Rotten America, and I'm very proud of it because it's as funny as I can be. And that it's funny you mentioned that, though, then, because that is exactly right. I kept getting these fixtures, these delicate fixtures, and they kept breaking. They kept snapping like a swizzle stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, notice the constancy of the theme, by the way, but I couldn't figure it out because I'm not Lou Ferrigno. I'm not a giant wrestler.
Yeah.
I'm not slapping these things on and off like a silverback gorilla.
Right.
I'm just turning them. I'm a very gentle turner and opener of things.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly that 2-3 months in, they go tang, and the thing breaks, and you can't shave. You can't, you know, so I finally said to the guy, look, do me a favor. Forget anything with style. I don't care what you put on my wife's sink. You know, it's a very nice house. It's just a regular place. We're very happy there. We have our kids there. It's just a 3-bedroom house. I mean, we love it, but it's just the kind of house just about everyone has. So there are 2 sinks next to each other in the master bathroom. And I said, give her whatever she wants, but do me a favor. Just go to a junkyard for me. Get 2 handles, one that says H and one that says C.
Yep.
And get those, the kind that'll never break. In fact, forget that. Just get a picture of Teddy Roosevelt's bathroom and make that. A round piece of hard rubber that goes into the sink with a chain on it. If the chain's broken, I'll just reach in and get it myself.
That's right.
If you can't do that, just get me a rusty bowl and a razor from the Crimean War, and I'll use that. I just couldn't take it anymore. The guy was honest with me. I finally said to one of the plumbers, do me a favor. Am I out of my mind, or why do these things keep breaking, or are those 2 separate questions? And I said, why though? Because I'm not crazy. Why do they keep snapping? And he did one of those things, which was very honest. He kind of rubbed his chin for a minute, and he said, well, I'll tell you the truth. They're more or less made to break.
Oh.
And because I remembered, I said to him, my parents had the same fixtures in their house where I grew up, and they had that thing for 34 years. They both passed on now, but I don't remember anything ever breaking or snapping like this. And he said, well, that's kind of it. They're kind of made to break because it's more or less a business decision of, well, if we break it every year and 2 months, we'll have to buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, you and I are in favor of people. I hope everyone makes $1 billion. I hope they all work forever. I hope there are 1 million jobs in the world. But, you know, you don't want to. You want to say, I'm proud of everything I make. It may not be curing diseases, but I try to be right every joke and every movie part as good as I can be. And I know you're doing the same thing. And you want to say, but doesn't it hurt when you're making something you know is supposed to break?
Yeah.
Just so you can sell another one? Now, maybe that sounds naive, but at any rate, at one point he did. Now we have 1 handle that says H and 1 that says C. So it's nice. I feel it's like my grandfather's house.
And how is that for
you? By the way, he was a plumber, whatever it's worth. My grandfather and my Uncle Harry, one of his sons, were plumbers. And my mother used to say, if they put in a joint, it's going to be there for 1,000 years. And it's true.
Yeah. Talking with Larry Miller, the book is called Spoiled Rotten America, Outrages of Everyday Life, here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. Let's get to the spoiled rotten part. Kind of the theme that you're talking about here, I just experienced. I stopped at a place, the St. Louis Bread Company, to get my lunch today and ate it in the car because, as an American, I'm in a hurry and I must do 2 things at once, driving and eating.
That's right.
And then, of course, the cell phone rings and now I'm doing 3 things at once. But anyway, I get to the bread company and there are 3 people in line ahead of me. There are 2 registers going, but there are 3 people in line ahead of me. And my first thought is, oh, my God.
That's right. That's exactly it.
I can't believe I'm going to have to wait here.
That's exactly it. You know, it's not. Look, we're good people. We work hard. It's not that. It's just that we feel so aggrieved at anything. If you pull up to the ATM and there's someone in front of you, you think, well, that's it. I'm not going to wait 41 seconds for my money. That's, I've had it. And the same thing, if the computer takes another 6 seconds to go on,
oh, yeah.
You start saying, this is an outrage.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, when I got the name, no kidding, I'm at work here. It's the same office I wrote the thing in. And I went downstairs for lunch. And the kitchen is always stocked. I mean, that's kind of spoiled right there. And I opened the refrigerator. I took out a box of frozen soy buffalo wings.
I'm sorry, what?
Frozen soy buffalo wings.
Let me just run that through my mind for a second. Frozen soy buffalo wings.
Get one in your head. It's one of those goofy things we all eat from time to time. It's little nugget things. By the way, it's probably horrible for you. It sounds good. But when our bodies all dissolve in 1,000 years, the only two things that are left will most likely be silicon and frozen soy buffalo. So, at any rate, I take a box out. It's what could be easier. You put them on the plate. You stick them in the microwave. You read the directions. Well, 2 minutes on. 2 minutes you cook it. 2 minutes. And then it's turning over halfway through. And I actually thought, oh, fine, now I got to turn them over too. And that's when it hit me. I laughed, but that's when I realized spoiled, rotten America. And you know what? I know this sounds like a cliche, but it's true that I really believe, because I laughed when I did it, and I really believed, and I know you did too, when you did that at the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
I really believe that as long as we laugh at that, we'll be okay, because some people don't, and I think these are the serious lunatics.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And by the way, it is the small thing. You know, you and I probably both grew up in a home where at some point, to change the channel on the TV, you had to get up, cross the room, and use the pliers to change the channel because the dial was long gone.
You know what, Paul? That's very funny because, absolutely, you jolted me with the word pliers. I thought you were just going to mean that you did it by hand, which is true, too. But you're right about the pliers.
And now, you know, satellite TV or cable TV, you push the channel up or channel button, down button, and it takes a half a second. You go, come on!
Exactly right. Or the classic thing, which is also a cliche now, of the 500 channels and nothing on.
Right.
And yet we do that. I do it, you do it. You actually go through and you say, there's nothing on. 340 movies, nothing, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing to see. And by the way, we also then grew up at the time when, in addition, that pliers thing is a great image, and we also, like Raging Bull, had someone standing behind with the rat with the antenna or putting tinfoil on them saying, how's it look now? See anything? No, it's still terrible. And for some reason, I don't know about where you grew up, but where I grew up, CBS was always the fuzzy one. That is, and there were only four channels anyway. And you, if you worked the rabbit ears well enough, and sometimes someone would actually have to wind up standing in the doorway of the den, you do it in 10-minute shifts because the only place it would come in is if someone was holding it
right
waist high in the middle of the room.
Not quite the same today with the satellite dish on the roof, is it?
And by the way, you know what? Even they were, look, no matter how old you are, 20, 50, or 80, anyone out there, your parents were twice as tough as you, and their parents were twice as tough as them, and it keeps getting tougher as you go back. And then you slingshot back to us. I mean, come on. My father had three jobs and went to school at night. If I go to the cleaners and the bank in the same day, I need a nap. And that's why, again, this theme, the stories in the book are about many different things, about life and the way it's comic essays. But one of the themes that tied them together, that's why I knew that could resonate with people, in a title, something that might be memorable with me, well, Spoiled Rotten America.
Perfect. And we'll take a break here and come back and talk some more about Spoiled Rotten America, Outrages of Everyday Life with Larry Miller on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. You've seen Larry Miller on TV on lots of shows, Boston Legal, Desperate Housewives, Monk, 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, My Wife and Kids, Seinfeld, Mad About You, and on and on and on. And the TV list is not all that he's done. It's, of course, a long list of movies as well, including the 3 Christopher Guest movies, Waiting for Guffman and A Mighty Wind. and Best in Show. He was in both Nutty Professor movies with Eddie Murphy. He was in both of the Princess Diary movies and really got the big movie start in Pretty Woman, where he played the manager of the store that Julia Roberts and Richard Gere go into. And that was really the launching off point. Unfortunately, for those of us who loved your stand-up so much, Larry, that meant that you weren't going to be a great touring comedian anymore. Instead, you became an actor.
Well, boy, first of all, thanks, pal. And for whatever it's worth, my people may want to know, my definition of character actor, which is what I am, a character actor is anyone in the movie not kissing Renee Zellweger. So that's just a tip for people. If you find yourself in a movie someday, and more than a week goes by, and you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not kissing Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're a character actor.
Or you're in Brokeback Mountain.
Wow, I'm awake now.
Have you ever had somebody suggest a romantic scene for your character?
Sure, it's usually me. But that's, by the way, a running joke I've had with every director. I always say, whoever it is, some beautiful actress, you know, the lead in anything. And I always say, and they're not certain about my sense of humor, because I try to be as serious as possible. And let's say it's Roberts, just to say off on the side, by the way, supposing the two characters were making out, should we just shoot that? And even if it winds up on the cutting room floor, we'll just have it then. At least we know we have it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be as serious and small as I can, because this makes me laugh anyway, if you do it real enough so that the guy just kind of looks at you and blinks for a second, and you can see him thinking, is this moron kidding? Because if I feel I can do that, I've done my job. But at this stage of the game, look, I love this stuff, and people get to know you. I really do, by the way. I loved it since the first joke I told on stage. It may not be curing diseases, but it's the right place for me, and I love all acting. I'm a writer as well. I've always been written many scripts, but this is the first book.
Yeah.
And it's sort of sit-down stand-up to me. It's a new direction for the stand-up I have, but it's all new stuff, and I'm home. I have a family now. I was in Little League yesterday. I was watching the ball game last night with one of the kids. You know, I mean, that's what I want to do. That's why when I said when you started the show, when you said, hey, it's fantastic, we have Larry here, he wrote a book, and then we're going to be talking with a guy in a bar about baseball, I thought, oh, wait a minute, no, that's what I want to do.
Well, we'll get to that, I promise. Larry's book, by the way, is called Spoiled Rotten America, Outrages of Everyday Life, and I hope it sells a ton for you here. One of the fascinating themes to me in here, because I didn't realize what a theme this was for me as well until I read your book, is the daydreaming about women that goes on in your life, and particularly about women you've known in the past tense.
You know what? It's so funny, because I just put that into this thing I'm writing now, which is another article, and it's because I think that's constant. I think women and men, of course, can never understand each other. We can commit to each other, and we can have faith in each other, and we can support each other. But it's impossible for a woman to ever know. Look, I've said this for years. I said this in my act. If women ever knew, even a 50th, even for a millionth of a second, of how we really looked at them, they would never stop slapping us. They have no clue. Women always say, well, we look at men too. When you want to say, you know what? It's like the difference between shooting a bullet and throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, of course. But so much of the book, in my way, in addition to the comedy, is it's drenched in memory. It's just glowing with this affection I have. And part of that, and not just for life, the same thing you do. And part of that is the way men think back on, good Lord, 10th grade when you didn't even know how to talk to one of these other humans anyway.
Yep.
And just the way, that's why to mention names and to think about them and to think, you know, obviously it's done in comedy, and it's, by the way, a true story when I was thinking about that one, when the kids hit the wall on that thing. But it's, of course, what is more powerful to a man than to think back to those days of a childhood of in that same point, 10th or 11th grade, when you think of whether it's Kathy Rossi or Ellen Herbstman, you know, or all these women who are very nice girls, and someone was going out with, but it was never going to be you.
Now, here's the important question. Whenever I have these thoughts, I always think, wow, if I knew then what I knew now, and I could go back to then, boy, I would be a lot more successful with women. And then my immediate next thought, Larry, is, what am I talking about? If my wife left me today, I would be not successful with any woman.
You know,
I don't know anything.
I got to tell you something, pal. We said this briefly during the commercial, but we are the same guy because, you know, it's such a giant leap, seriously, for all men to realize that. You know something? Supposing someone gave you, and we all kid around about this, you win a lottery. Supposing someone gave you, anyone out there now, by the way, said, here's $100 million. Here's $1 billion. Here's anything you want. Here's a house with 1,000 rooms and 1,000,000 vases in it and anything you could ever want. But you never got to meet your wife, and she's not there now. And you know what? And you can still have every woman in the world. But anyone who makes that deal is missing the point of life and is in fact crazy. Because so what? It's a giant so what? I wouldn't change, God knows, I wouldn't change a thing. You'd have to be a lunatic to want to change a thing, anything in life. Now, by the way, if things haven't worked out, if people break up, or if something happens or someone gets sick or someone passes on, these are the tragedies of life. But that's why I mean it when I say it. If you get up in the morning, we don't do this enough. This is one of the chapters I read about, that we don't do this enough. If you get up and you're healthy and you open your eyes and you make your coffee and you go to work and you have someone to come home to and maybe even a family of people who really care about you, buddy, the game's over, and you won.
Yeah, there's not much better in life than having your kid come running to the door saying, Daddy, at the end of the day.
You know what? If you need more than that, you're in the wrong game. Because I know plenty of people, frankly, out here and in this kind of business. And, you know, some are friends, some I care about, where, you know, people who are out every night. I call them, there are two kinds of show business. I call them, my wife, by the way, is an award-winning comedy writer as well. I mean, she's a multi-award-winning. She's a TV writer. And we're a show business family, but there are two kinds of show business. There's us, which is people who I don't think are lunatics. I mean, we're just fairly regular. Well, she was in the snack bar all day yesterday at Little League, and the only reason I'm saying this is there's the other kind of show business I call the first six pages of People magazine show business.
Yeah.
You know, where everyone is coming from events, or they're going to restaurants, and they're posing in front with one foot crossed in front of the other.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good luck. If that's what you want, congratulations. But, boy, it looks so empty to me. And, you know, we're always saying, because sometimes you know someone, and she just broke up with this guy, and then they're going out with the other guy, and you want to say, wow. Because the only people we get together with, and it's the same thing, by the way. There are eight people you'd know at this Little League, which is just a field. But they're just people. They want to sit there and watch the game. We all do the same thing. You're in the snack bar, and suddenly someone says, hey, can you put chili on that? Sure. But I don't know why anyone would want to live any other way. I'm not only not giving anything up. Who would want to live any other way? To be able to drive back afterwards and have the game on the radio?
Yeah.
To take another kid to a football game and stand there and just say, hey, he really ran well there. You know what? I don't know what the... Then to come home. I did a benefit last night, and then I performed at that. When I got home, my wife is there. I get to kiss the kids goodnight, and I have a drink with my wife, and the rest is none of your business.
Larry, let me take another break. We'll come back in a moment. The book, a great read, Spoiled Rotten America. Larry Miller here on the Paul Harris Show. This is KMOX. With Larry Miller, actor, comedian, Little League dad, and author of Spoiled Rotten America, Outrages of Everyday Life. I mentioned before that you were in the three Christopher Guest movies. Number 4, For Your Consideration, is due out next month, and I've seen the trailer, and you have hair.
You know what's funny? People know those movies. Yes, by the way, I'm so excited to be working with Christopher Guest again. I actually grew hair. You know, you never know. The body is so strange. But, you know, in those movies, if people know them, as you mentioned, Waiting for Guffman and Mighty Wind and Best in Show, they put quite a group of knuckleheads together in those things. And it's sort of like a John Ford company of people. He likes the same guys, and obviously that's such a cool call to get in show business. I really do love this stuff. But and it's always at home, and the phone rings, you say, hello, and the voice says, hello, Larry, it's Christopher. And you know what? That's such a cool call, and my agents know, and I'm sure everyone else has said this to their agents. You know what? this one, you just do. Whatever they send, you just do it. Don't talk to anyone. You don't have to sign it. You don't have to negotiate anything. They're very generous anyway, but this one, you just do, and it's so cool. And people have their, by the way, they have leeway. You mentioned the toupee. When they sit you down there, you talk about all things. I had the bald man ponytail, the little stubby ponytail.
Oh, no, you didn't, really? Oh.
And by the way, if someone has one out there, you know, I'm sure you're a great guy, but you really have to stop. And, you know, everyone has different things, wigs and, you know, really weird things, but they all seem to work. And in this case, they put one on me in the makeup trailer, like the couple of days before when you just start trying things out. And he said, you want to try this thing? I said, wow, whatever you say. Well, look, I don't, you know, whatever, if it seems to work for this, for one of the knuckleheads you play. And they put this thing on. And it was only the second one they tried. They put it on, and everyone more or less in the trailer at that point said, but it's a compliment when everyone just said, oh, that's horrible. Not bad, not meaning that you can tell it's a toupee, but just so stupid.
Yeah.
It just looks like a... It kind of looks like you, but not like... You know what I mean? When you see someone...
Oh, yeah.
And most men can't recognize these things. Most men... That's why we've learned to keep our mouths shut, hopefully, when you see a woman you know, whether it's from the office or, you know, like an aunt or your sister's best friend. When someone has something that was done, she has a new haircut, you should never say anything, because who wants to take that chance? It's like the mistake you make once in life that you don't want to make again when you say to someone, oh, are you pregnant? What do you do? And then you realize she's not pregnant.
She just got big.
Yeah, and then you know what? That's a mistake. Men or women, no one needs to make twice. And so in this case, though, in these movies, they're pretty funny about the way people, sometimes they put in a ring or an earring or something ridiculous, but I have a lot of respect for those folks. And
well, they do a great job, and you're wonderful in them. I'm looking forward to it. It's for your consideration. Larry with His Hair, that's out next month, and then next year he's in something called Homeland Security. We'll talk about that when that comes out. There's also a DVD of Keeping Up with the Steins that's coming out later this week. He's also in the DVD of The Aristocrats. Here, a guy who can't remember jokes is in one of the best movies ever about jokes. And most importantly, let's sell a couple more copies of Spoiled Rotten America, Outrages of Everyday Life.
Now, I really appreciate it. And let me just say that website again is LarryMillerHumor.com.
Yep.
It's in every bookstore in America, and it's on Amazon, and I'm very, very proud of it, and I hope people like it. It's as funny as I can be.
You
so
should
thanks.
Be proud. Thanks for coming on today. I hope to talk to you again. Let's not make it a decade before we do this again.
You know what? You've got a deal. And good luck to everyone there, because this looks like it's going to be a great series. It already is.
Thank you, Larry. Larry Miller here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.